Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I am your host, Mark Call. This is the show where we talk about, most of the time anyway, so many different aspects of that process, what it means and how we do it. Come out of her, my people, so that you do not participate in her sins. The sins are more and more obvious. And hopefully then that we do not partake of the plagues that are the result of those sins, also that are getting more and more obvious. And I want to start off today by just kind of recapping a little bit, I guess, of what it takes, what I go through in terms of thought processes when I'm putting together a show like this one. And one of the things that I always try to do, of course, is if not always break completely new ground, at least talk about different aspects of those processes, what we do, how we do it, and so forth, than we have talked about in the past. Nevertheless, there's some overlap, and I guess one of the things that I really have noticed of late, given that things are getting more and more obvious and more people are saying, wow, what's it going to take before we recognize that the country is either done, stick a fork in it, or at least a whole mill of a Hess, and how bad has it got to get before people wake up and start doing something about it? Ironically, still, I think it's true that most Americans are clueless, and that, of course, is a condition not just of America or the modern history, but most of human history. You've heard the old joke, right? There's three kinds of people, those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, those that wonder what happened. You look at the American Revolution, you've probably heard the numbers, I've talked about them here. In the time of the pre-1770s and into the early years of the Revolution, there were essentially three groups of people in America. There were what were called the Tories, that were loyal to the crown, maybe 10% of the population. There were what are now called the Patriots, that decided and thought about independence, and then they were about 10%. Then there was the vast majority, about 80%, that were simply, I don't know, I don't care, the clueless. And that is, the 80-20 rule has always been pretty much how things break down. Now, what's also interesting, and certainly historians will point this out to you, it's part of the reason why people in the past formed the 3%ers and similar groups. Of those 10% or so that were patriots, only about 1 in 3, maybe 3%, were actually willing to do something about it. Ultimately, those are the ones that took up arms. And as most people are hopefully aware, at least those that understand American history, it was only about 3% of the American population that actually fought for and were rewarded with a new nation that was brought forth on these shows, these shores, based on those self-evident truths. So what's the point of all of this? Well, ultimately, there are a whole lot of people that are beginning to wake up. Most never will. And so one of the things that is, again, part of this process of putting a show together was thinking about so many elements of, what are we seeing, and how would I look at the breakdowns here? What are the things that might be worth talking about along these lines? Okay, well, here, for example, just a list of a few that I put together over the last couple of days. One, we have an election maybe coming up. There's all kinds of people who, and that would include your host, are skeptical about whether it'll be allowed to happen, how they will rig it if it is allowed to happen, and if they can't rig it, which is the reason why I think it might be avoided, then what do? Do you have martial law? Do you bring the United States into a war? Well, they're trying all of those things. So what does that look like? And what do we do in reaction to knowing that the election will be rigged? Folks, if you're not aware of that, you haven't been paying attention. Nothing has changed since the last election. There will be vote rigging. It will be massive. The only real question, and the only reason that some of those who are going to the Trump rallies and working hard to see if this time something will be different. Well, what they're basically saying, and Trump himself has come right out and said this, we have to win so massively that they can't rig it. They might be able to steal 10, 20%, swap votes from Biden to Trump, Trump to Biden, and so forth. And yet, ultimately, there might be a number that is so big, so overwhelmingly, say what, 80% of the population massively votes for anybody but Biden? Or Can they still rig it even then? Because if they do, and people say, oh, you got to be kidding me. Well, wait a minute. They said that in 2020. And the answer was, well, what are you going to do about it? Ha ha! You show up at the Capitol and protest? We'll throw away the key. We'll take you away from your family. We'll steal your stuff. We'll throw you in jail. Are you afraid yet? And the answer is people shut up and they took it. And they went like good little slaves to their gulags and all the places that Big Brother wanted. They watched their families, their homes, their farms, their ranches, their businesses destroyed. And they're still getting away with it. So, yeah, the rigged election is certainly something that is worth thinking about. But I'm going to put that on the list of things that as we go through the elements today, see how that plays out in terms of what we're going to talk about. Here's another one. We have an invasion, arguably the biggest invasion in American history without question. 10 million or so far, foreign invaders, troops, many of them military-age males, some of them outright terrorists or foreign invading armies, literally to the point that we have battalions of communist Chinese troops. Those that say, Russia is a real threat. It's funny to me that they don't seem to think if I was Putin and I really was that kind of a threat, I'd have thousands of Spetsnaz troops already embedded here. What do you say to that? Oh, well, we got to send more guns and ammo to Ukraine. Really? That's going to do a hell of a lot of good when they come to your town. All right, so the invasion is another one of those elements that certainly, for various reasons, is worthy of thinking about. How about this one, the banking meltdown? I've got stories here to the extent that more and more bank branch closures. We know that the banks are ultimately insolvent. 2008, and a repeat is on the horizon. Here is here's a note from Hal Turner's radio show. The New York Community Bank Corp stock has recently fallen 40%. Trading in the stock was halted. This is dated yesterday by the New York Stock Exchange. Insiders are saying things like it's over for the bank. They cannot survive. So the first big bank failure of 2024 is in progress. This will be a really big one. Will there be a cascading set of events? If you've been watching, things like Bitcoin have been going exploding of late. There may be a big move there, say insiders, because well, let's just say there's a lot of manipulation. Now that Bitcoin is almost as manipulated as the paper gold markets, it's a lot easier than it used to be. Likewise, paper gold and silver, in spite of the manipulation, seem to have been going up. Gold, paper gold anyway, hit all new highs in these last few days, well above 2,140 or 50 or so bucks an ounce. But, of course, you can't actually buy an ounce and have it delivered for that price. You got to pay more. So banking and the meltdown is certainly another element of things. You're going to see in a second that all of these have one thing in common. I've talked before, I've done recent shows about energy. If you find that the grid goes down, most Americans in the cities are literally going to be dead. And I mean D-E-A-D, and this is a DOD report dating back a number of years at this point, dead within 6 months, 90% dead within a year. Why? Well, everything from essentially waterborne diseases and infections to bad water and the lack of food deliveries, banking system meltdowns, and, of course, riots and cannibalism in the major cities. You name it, folks, it becomes an utter hellhole, more so than San Francisco, New York, and Chicago already are even. And so energy is certainly one of those things that people need to be aware of and thinking about. If you're in a rural area, I would encourage you, recognize that you can heat your home with LP, with liquefied propane, natural gas, that kind of thing, and well, you can store LP, put a lot of it aside, and hopefully for a lot less money than you can put together a complete alternative power system for your home, you can store several years' worth of heat at the very least. And so there are things that people ought to be doing. Again, we've talked about all of those elements. But what those things have in common that kind of led me to the direction I really want to talk about today are two main words, things that ultimately affect our psyche when we realize we can't fight against all of them. Now, what am I talking about here? Well, for example, the rigged election. So you have one lousy vote. Hell, the Democrats can rig 1,000 times that number without breaking a sweat. What's your one lousy vote going to do? Answer. If you really think your vote is going to save you, sorry. You're in a whole mell of a, you know, world of hurt. Let's put it kindly. There are the four boxes of, in a free society, right? Soap, ballot, jury, and cartridge. Use in this order. I think all of us are hoping it doesn't come to the fourth box, the cartridge box, but we're recognizing that day by day, that looks more and more likely. It certainly is the kind of thing we don't want to think about, and it also seems, well, let's just put it mildly, daunting. What are the things that we can't fight? Well, example, one of those is a rigged election. Yes, you can go out and you can campaign and you can hope that just maybe it'll be a big enough landslide to overcome the rigging. But the truth is, if people don't trust elections anyway, and who would be fool enough to trust elections, then what? I think about all you can say is if Trump manages to win by a big enough landslide that it's obvious that he won and they couldn't rig it, well, and they don't do exactly what they did last time, which is to firebomb from within, destroy the country, pull out all the stops and tear things down. And by the way, that would be the way to bet. Trust is a big issue. You know the left isn't going to trust the election if they don't manage to rig it. You know the right isn't going to trust anything except a landslide victory that's so big that they can't overwhelm it. But even there, what are we left with? We're left with the understanding that the system is so broken that it took a historic landslide to beat it. And what are the odds that it's going to be followed up with something else equally historic? Well, again, I guess the truth is we'll see. Whether it's banking system meltdowns or all the other things that I mentioned, again, the things that they have in common is that as trust in various elements of the system fails, trust in a fiat money, which isn't really trustworthy at all, trust in a banking system that's based on fractional reserves and isn't trustworthy, and an entire currency that isn't trustworthy, and a bunch of criminals running the railroad that we know darn well we can't trust. Ultimately, we have an entire system that was, back when it was at least remotely legitimate, or people thought it was, had trust built into it, right? In God we trust. Well, now we realize it's not even the right God that they put their trust in. So trust is a really big deal. Well, there's another one, too. And I've seen some things online and commentaries, people talking about it. I'll throw out a sentence that I saw on one of these fora earlier in the day. And this one struck me because I thought it was kind of funny in a naive sort of way. Without legitimacy, there is no obeying. So the text and the commentary obviously had to do with people believing that as faith in the system breaks down and people realize that the Federal Reserve isn't legitimate, the Biden-Fuhrer is not legitimate, the State of the Union not legitimate, the rigged congressional elections in places like California and Illinois, they're not legitimate. Here in Colorado, too, we recognize that unless you win by a landslide, if you're a Republican, you're not going to go to the State House, much less the Congress. So there are a lot of elements, essentially, that aren't legitimate. But this idea that without legitimacy, there is no obeying. In other words, that people won't obey an illegitimate government. Okay. Would that it were so. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's not an interesting concept. The founders talked about withdrawing consent, that when a government becomes abusive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government. Well, great. Do we have enough Americans that even understand that concept anymore to do that? I seriously doubt it. But the truth of the matter is, even if 90% of Americans realize that the government was completely illegitimate, and I guarantee you, I believe a majority already do. A majority actually recognize that this government is completely illegitimate, that the guy that sits in the White House and pretends to be the puppet with his nice apparent strings still attached. You know, it's like an old Japanese horror movie. You can see the strings on Biden. It's obvious. Everybody knows it. And if it wasn't for the strings, he'd walk into a wall anyway. That's a lack of legitimacy, right? And yet, what happens? Well, people still pretend he's president. They still play Hail to the Chief. They still tune in, or at least a few will, to this charade tonight, the State of the Union message. Without legitimacy, said this pundit, there is no obeying. Well, you know what? It occurs to me that the IRS, if you understand much about the Federal Reserve, about fiat currencies, if you've ever read the Constitution, you know that it's illegitimate as hell. You know that there's nothing about a Federal Reserve, which is either federal, doesn't have any reserves. It has no legitimacy. Congress has no power to delegate an authority they don't have to a body that shouldn't exist. So now what? Well, guess what, folks? People still think that firms are money. For now, Federal Reserve notes, if you haven't heard that acronym. Does that mean there's no obeying? No. Does that mean that they're not tearfully, frightfully, literally catatonically afraid of the IRS? Most Americans, folks, fear the IRS more than they do probably any other three-letter agency, including people in Nazi Germany fearing the Gestapo or SS. Those people can take away your stuff, ruin your life. In California, they fear various three-letter agencies there that can take away their kids, especially if they're young mothers. Without legitimacy, there's no obeying. I don't buy that at all. And that leads me to the other point on my list here, which is fear. Because ultimately, those are the two elements that are both either key or being destroyed. That's what that list that I started with has in common. These are entities, agencies, institutions, which once were both trusted and arguably feared. Trusted because people thought they were legitimate. Trusted because maybe they thought they were actually lawful before they knew better. Most of them still don't know and don't care, and that's a whole different story. But they were certainly feared as well. The FBI was feared. If the FBI comes down on you, even in the days of Efren Zemblis Jr., people were taught to fear the FBI. Fear those that can take your life and that can serve you with a warrant and take your property and take you into court to where you'll stand before the black robe priests of another god. Well, now that fear is worse than ever because you look at New York and you say, even if you're a former president, they can steal your businesses. Do they need to convict you of a crime? Hell no. They don't even need evidence. They just got to accuse you and put you in front of a crooked judge and he'll say, yep, off with his head. And people will say, oh, that's legitimate, even if they know it's not. So I want to talk today about those twin pillars and how important are they and what do they mean for us as we come out of her, this idea of trust and fear. Now, one of the things that I think is key with respect to trust, especially if you think about come out of her and what that means, and I won't spend a lot of time talking about this because I want to go in a different direction, but I will often do that. And that is, you know, so we try to build an alternative community. We say, let's build a community of like-minded people, constitutionally oriented, scripturally oriented. We share those beliefs and those self-evident truths. We share a belief in biblical morality and law based on the fact that we have rights from our God and that there are prohibitions that were once put into the Bill of Rights and so forth. We can share a lot of things as Americans. Can we build a community on that basis? Well, think about this. What is Big Brother going to do in a place where there is no fear of the law, but there is a concern about what they're going to call what? Right-wing extremists, domestic violent extremists, white nationalists, Christian nationalists, terrorists, you name it. If there's a purgative, they'll apply to anybody that actually believes there is a God and that rights come from him rather than them. So the idea here is, what will they do? Well, it's important, as I've always pointed out, to run some thought experiments. One thing you can rest assured, they'll try to infiltrate. If that group becomes big enough that it's a threat, you can rest assured somebody's going to show up. They're not going to be obvious about it, but you may be able to tell. They'll be the ones paying the dues. Is the old KKK joke that you may have heard from the 30s and 40s. It was the FBI were the only ones paying the dues, or the KKK would have gone bankrupt. Well, they'll try to infiltrate communities. They will try to sow dissension in the ranks. That's exactly what we're seeing. They will literally turn brother against brother, infiltrate, and destroy. So just recognize it up front. It helps because one of the things we're going to have to do, regardless of how we address these twin pillars, is to recognize there are going to be those that fight the establishment of trust among alternatives and then try to instill instead fear in those very same places. All right, from there, what I want to do is I want to talk about a couple of articles that will set the rest of the stage because I mentioned that those elements, things that we're seeing that people would say, oh, we just can't fight this, or maybe we have to be aware of it, but what can we do about it? Here's one story. This is from the Daily Mail. And what's interesting to me is that the Daily Mail is now reporting this. They called it an exclusive. And they said a lot of Americans are baffled by the sudden rush of Chinese migrants, well, invaders, even Chinese Secret Service and other special forces units coming in, not by the small group, but by the battalion, have baffled Americans. Americans are wondering why. How they're getting here. Why are they coming? Well, we know why they're coming. They come because they can and because they're invading the country and they're given their orders. Now it can be revealed, though, says the Daily Mail, that they are being aided by Chinese gangs known as snakeheads. operating in conjunction with Mexican cartels. They're already known for their brutal people-smuggling tactics, but the snakeheads have long ferried migrants into all kinds of unsuspecting nations around the world. Well, now they've turned their targets to the United States because the Biden Führer says, come on in, we're going to aid and abet you. And the Daily Mail can reveal they're working on a number of ways to secure entry for thousands upon thousands, well, millions ultimately, of Chinese nationals. Often they come through a smuggler. They pay thousands of dollars to fly from their native country through Taiwan and then maybe through Turkey, ultimately through South America and Central America. They come up across the Darien Gap. You got people like Michael Yon talking about that. Then they make their way across the border. And often, get this, this is the part I think that's kind of interesting. I knew this was going on. We had the story revealed in the last few days. But now we know the numbers. The Biden Führer's regime has revealed that what's called the CBP-1, this is Customs and Border Protection, what a misnomer, one, they have an app so that if you're a foreign terrorist, you can sign up from home. Don't even have to leave the comfort of the city that you're going to, or the country that you're going to claim is so heinous, so oppressive that you have to flee and seek asylum. But isn't it funny? You can seek asylum right from your easy chair without ever having to leave. CBP-1 will make your reservations for you and get your goodies when you get here. So they claim asylum right from their home countries. And the app is being observed, says the Daily Mail, in places like San Diego last week, where boorish taxi drivers refused to discuss the arrangements that they had with all these invaders for the article. And many were well-dressed. It says they had thousands of dollars to negotiate private cars to drive them from San Diego once they got across the border and were welcomed to their new home and their new units to their final destinations. They have a picture of a man who entered the country, fancy dressed, lots of luggage from China, heading to Los Angeles. He paid cash and smartly dressed, stood out from the others, but got on the car and headed for L.A., for an elevated price, the well-to-do Chinese asylum seekers gets a private car to take him to L.A., yada, yada. Again, the fact is that this is going on. Yeah, it's not going to get much press from the likes of the CNNs or MSNBCs. They may joke about it on The View and Rachel Maddow saying, ha ha, you got to be a MAGA nutcase hillbilly to believe this could be going on. I guess maybe when they show up at their Hollywood homes and turn their brand new AK-47s on them, maybe they'll figure it out. But that's part of the point here. At that point, folks, it's too late. When the leftist nutcases that have been begging for this finally get their comeuppance, it's too late even to smile about what's happened to them. Here's another story I'm going to suggest is related. This will take us to the break, I suspect. Send your neighbor to prison for wrong speak, get a $2,000 reward from the communists in the upper left coast, Washington State. This is from the Liberty Sentinel, and there's a bill that has now moved. It's called Senate Bill 5427. It will almost certainly be signed into law by the communist, Jay Inslee, who's an extreme leftist with no respect for the rule of law. And it has or tends to create a statute. Now, remember, it's not law, folks, because it's a violation of the Constitution on many fronts. Still, they'll claim it's law. And it violates at least all of the following constitutionally protected rights. Well, once upon a time. The right to confront your accuser, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of thought, all kinds of things that were once part of what was called the First Amendment, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, all of these are obvious. What you can do is they'll set up a new hotline, and you can rat out your neighbor and accuse them of bias and bias incidents. And by the way, Big Brother will pay you up to $2,000 for information that helps to destroy your neighborhood. Isn't that special? And the bill was very clear. This is not a crime, but they are going to forward it to local law enforcement anyway to investigate. Back when we used to have a concept called the rule of law, if there was no crime, police didn't have anything to investigate. But that was before Orwell and his practices became part of doublethink and newspeak and so forth. So progressives, Marxists say it's about helping victims of hate crimes before a crime ever happens. So isn't that funny? You had pre-crime before. Now we have pre-hate crimes. And it doesn't just chill free speech and the freedom of the press. It freezes it solid because people had now better fear that some greedy Karen will rat them out to the Washington State Gestapo. And, you know, the rest of the story essentially brings home the point, but it's a fascinating part of the equation, certainly having to do with both trust and fear, that we'll talk about when we get back right after this bottom of the hour break. Stay with us. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace and tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Oh, no, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Come out of her, oh my people, for the time has come to judge Babylon. So come out of her, oh my people, for the time has come to judge Babylon. For her sins have reached unto the heavens.
All right, folks, we are back. This is the Come Out of Her, My People Show second segment. And today I'm talking about a number of things that I guess I'm going to lump into the categories of fear and trust. And especially when it comes to things that if we can tell what's going on and recognize it, things that we can't fight, or at least we might think we can't fight. And sometimes we're told that the way we have to fight them is just downright silly. For example, right, your one vote, that's going to make a big difference when they're invading the country by the millions, when the entire banking system is being destroyed, when the food chain is being destroyed, when the energy infrastructure is being destroyed. Yeah, your vote is going to make a hell of a lot of difference. You can vote for what might have been good had it not been too late by the time the votes weren't even counted. So color me skeptical on that. And rather than talking about voting per se and some of the things that I've addressed before when it comes to democracy and why the founders wisely said we don't have that, we don't want that form of government, let's talk about some things that matter a hell of a lot more. So as we went to break, I was talking about a bill in Washington, the People's Republic of Washington State on the upper left coast, that is going to try at least to let people know what happens to them if they engage in wrong speak. They'll rat you out, your neighbors, the walls have ears, right? The old East German Stasi got nothing on Washington State. And the kinds of things that this new bill, which is probably going to get signed into law, would enable is the following. Here's the thought experiment. Local sheriff or deputy shows up at your home, questions you about a bias incident, wrong speak, that you allegedly committed. The statute, though, prohibits him from telling you who reported you. No right to face your accuser. You stand there and you say, what is going on? Because you don't have a clue what he's talking about. But he's not allowed to answer any questions either, especially if they might give you a clue as to who the Karen is, because you didn't remember anybody screaming, bias incident, when you miss or wrong spoke. You have no idea who, what, when, where, or why, or how, so you have no way to defend yourself. But guess what? Without trial, your name goes on the state's bias incidents list and remains there until you die. If somebody else, or maybe the same person, Karens you out again, well, the AG, the Gestapo, may or may not ever let you know about it. Maybe you'll find out when the FBI shows up at your door, and so forth. So maybe it's time, if you have a business interest in Washington, start a U-Haul franchise. But the state points out that there were virtually no hate crimes among a almost 8 million population, less than 600 or so, the max in the last few years. But when BLM riots destroyed Seattle, there were only 462 in the year 2020. So, you know, basically, it's a not crime, it's a not problem, but it's being turned into something that is a, well, damnable way to destroy trust and invoke fear, and that's the point. So if you have a speeding ticket, you may or may not find out, but that's probably the only way you'll find out is when they tell you, Achtung, you are a bias incident person. And we're going to probably terminate you with extreme prejudice, ultimately, when they get their way. Let's talk about another termination with extreme prejudice. This one is an eyebrow raiser, and I'll throw it out quickly. Tuesday, says a piece from the Gateway Pundit, reports began to circulate that the FBI, that's the Federal Bureau of Investigation, was going to hunt, now that it's too late, for an Iranian named Majid Dasjani Farhani. And according to the FBI, he's wanted for questioning in connection with the recruitment of individuals, basically for wet work. You know what that means? To include lethal targeting of current and former U.S. government officials in revenge for the killing of the commander of the IRGC, the Iranian, essentially secret police, their commander, Qasem Soleimani. And you know who that is. Trump supposedly ordered it. He was killed by a drone strike. And now on the Iranian hit list are former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, National Security Advisor John Bolton, former Representative Special Rep for Iran Brian Hook. I think it's Hooker, if I remember right. But anyway, as well as other former and current U.S. officials, including, guess who? Oh, yes. The man who is going to be commander-in-chief if there was even a remotely honest election, and everybody knows it at this point. But what's funny to me is that the FBI is putting out their information, and they're saying he is wanted. The Gateway Pundit spoke to a scholar on the Middle East and terrorism, and he said, when a person like this fellow, he's called an MOIS agent. That's essentially their Gestapo, Secret Service, FBI. When he shows up on your shores, everything should be blinking red, and you'd better get nervous. Wait a minute. Now, let's stop here for a second and just engage a little bit of common sense thinking. Suppose 10 million people like this are showing up on your shores. Suppose they're coming in across the open border completely unhindered. And suppose you know you're not even catching the worst of them. The really nasty ones are escaping into the hinterlands without so much as hiding their hair of a visit from the, pitiful, emasculated Customs, Border Patrol, and so-called border protection officials. So how would you know is the question. How many of these special agents, terrorist forces, are already in the country? How many of these Majid Dasjani Farahanis are already roaming around, probably with Biden and Obama-supplied bus tickets? This is obscene. Folks, if one person in 1,000 coming across the open border is a bad guy, how many of them you think you're going to catch? Well, how many have already been caught and released? So the reason I mention this is because you're going to hear about it with other things. It's just plain idiotic, but guess what it does? It provides a little bit of that plausible deniability thing so that when maybe the bad guys, and that might include the FBI themselves, who's going to know, do manage to kill a former Secretary of State or an official of the Trump administration, and they say, oh, what a shame. They got what they had coming. We're so sorry. Sure wish we'd have known about that in advance. Or worse, right? In other words, are they telegraphing their moves? That leads me to the story that I really wanted to spend some of the time on today. It's a conglomeration of a number of things. I just happened to pick this one because it's a pretty good representative sample, but I've seen probably dozens of stories over the last week or two along these lines. This one comes from the All News Pipeline by Stefan Stansard. It's called Disturbing Warnings of Dangers to Come as Globalists Prepare All Kinds of Nasty Stuff. Think taking down the internet, rewriting history, and setting criminal invaders, right? We know that, and Trump's even talked about this, Venezuela, Colombia, a lot of South American countries and others are setting loose their, not just their terrorists and their special forces invaders, but criminals too. MS-13, they're coming across the border. Don't forget that for every terrorist, there's probably a couple of good old-fashioned murderers, rapists, and arsonists coming across, as Texas may be able to point out too. All right. Super Tuesday's over. Trump has cemented his position. The battle is shaping up. And now Joe Biden looks completely unelectable, even to most of the Democrats. And it looks like if there's an honest election, everybody knows how it's going to turn out. So got to find some way to put a final stop to him. So ANP says they've been warning, that's the All News Pipeline, that if the left believes they will not be able to win or even fake an election come November, well, they'll figure out another way to do it, just like they did when they couldn't stop him from beating Hitlery. To hang on to power, well, we know what the Biden Fuhrer did. They basically had their left behind group, and they targeted Trump from within. Whether it was the FBI or the various other three-letter agencies, look at the people that he was, well, and admittedly, Trump bears culpability. He put some of these people in place, like the do-nothing or worse attorney generals and the like. You can't list an attorney general that hadn't been a scumbag in the last, 40 years. So, How do you think they'll hang on to power? You know the answer. By any means necessary, including murder, mayhem, terror, you name it. Nothing, no matter how illegal, how immoral, or how violent it might be, is off the table. Now, from there, the story goes on to, I think, an interesting one. And this was Tucker Carlson, who's been doing yeoman's work of late with interviews. And he took retired U.S. Army Colonel Douglas MacGregor on. And they warned America. And, of course, Tucker referred to the Roman Empire and the fact that they allowed the Roman legions and the basically military to be taken over by foreign troops and invaders that destroyed Rome essentially from within and from without. The U.S., are they really stupid enough to do that? Well, it looks like some Congress critters either haven't studied history or are bound and determined to use that to bring down America, because that's the real goal here. Here's how MacGregor put it. He said that what literally is happening is turning criminal invaders loose that are flowing into our nation to set up the Democrats' own private army. They're being let loose, fully armed by our government via the American taxpayer to hunt down and kill Americans. Oh, wait a minute. Are they really that stupid? Would they really do that? That's essentially what MacGregor warns. He says this. What better solution? And they played the videos of some of these Congress idiots. And no, I'm being too kind. These aren't idiots, folks. These are traitors. They're nobody's that stupid in Congress. They know blankety-blank and well what they're doing. They are trying to destroy the country from within. They allowed people like Lloyd Austin to poison poke the military. They allowed them to teach them all about gay pride flags, rainbows, and LGBTQ stuff, rather than how to fight wars and kill people and break things, right? So here's how MacGregor put it. What better solution than finding people who have no connection to the American people, bringing them in by the millions, right, arming them, and then sending them out to oppress us? As the duo warned, the Democrat-proposed Courage to Serve Act, what a crock, would offer illegal invaders an expedited path to citizenship if they quote-unquote serve, there's a joke, in the U.S. military. Why? Because they're missing their recruitment goals. Guess why? Well, as the story points out, it's largely unpopular globalist wars. People that think, you know, I might want to serve in the military to defend my country, but they're not defending my country. They're letting the invaders in. I don't want to go defend Ukraine's borders. That's kind of silly. They intend to throw me on the fire as cannon fodder. Why would I want to do that? Besides which, if I'm white, they hate white people. They've already told me this is not your military anymore. And guess what? They're going to dress me up like a woman, make me wear LGBTQ flags and learn crap and pretend that I believe it, or I'll be a private forever. Why would I want to sign up for that? Oh, and yeah, they'll probably poison poke me again too, even though they lost that battle at least a little bit, not before they poison poked most of the soldiers, sailors, and Marines that weren't able to get out in time. So you have a huge proof, says MacGregor, that a large segment of these people that are coming in are criminal invaders. They're fighting age men. They consider America their enemies. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Let's bring the Communist Chinese Special Forces in, put an American uniform on them, and give them some wonderful full-auto weapons, and maybe train them using man pads and some other stuff, and then they can really go out and wreak havoc. Tucker warns, first you allow your country to be invaded, then you hand automatic weapons to the people who invaded it. MacGregor has said that is the worst idea Congress ever had. Well, that's an arguable point, but no doubt about it, folks. Funding and arming the people that are invading you probably is high up there on the list. And now you have this FBI report about an Iranian assassin on the loose targeting Trump officials. Does that sound like a false flag to anybody? They mentioned the Daily Mail article that I've already quoted about how the Biden Fuhrer and the regime admit that they have already flown 320,000 migrants. How many battalions is that? Yeah, depends on the size of them, right? Secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of illegal crossings at the border. Hell, let's fly them in and bring them right where they're going. We're going to have to pay more anyway. And they're warning about national security vulnerabilities. Gee, do you think? How did they set this up to begin with? And these are criminals in many cases in their own country, those that aren't special forces troops, and those who intend to carry out crimes and acts of terrorism in America. The ones that are most likely to be the best at it are the ones that aren't going to be intercepted by Border Patrol. But the groundwork's being laid, as Elon Musk put it, warning from the same articles, that we're going to see something far worse than 9/11. And who knows exactly how many armed terrorists and unarmed but soon to be armed terrorists and other criminals the U.S. government, or at least those masquerading as it, have already helped and provided aid and comfort to and sent to their final destinations and to join up with their battalions and their groups and their cells. along with false flag operations. Okay, the socialists are not only allowing but aiding and abetting an invasion of the country. The military is not only not going to stop it, they're going to be taken out of the way. And now they want to populate the military with people who are coming in to do exactly this. McGregor suggested the current ruling class America appears set to burn the country down and build their own brave new world on the ashes of the Republic. He warns that these people have no allegiance to American values, much less the Constitution. Hell, who's bringing them in? People that don't have any either. And they're looking instead for the bennies, the goodies that the Biden Fuhrer has been advertising worldwide. Come on in and get them. Hell, we might even just give you a nice American home. California is now talking about how they're going to let illegal aliens come in and invade, and they'll give you not only a nice house, but they'll make you an interest-free loan on it, too. Isn't that wonderful? I guess they're thinking, hey, why do we have to have squatters like in Atlanta? We'll just let them squat, we'll take away the houses, and we'll give them free rent. Okay, all of this is so far beyond obscene, folks, that I can understand why people fear what they don't understand, and they certainly don't trust, for example, a Customs and Border Patrol. Now, I know there are probably some good ones that are in that group saying, I sure wish I wasn't gutless. I'm sure wish I had the balls to stand up against what's going on. But nope, I need to draw my paycheck. Don't want to risk my pension. Come on. If you're in Customs and Border Patrol and you're watching this stuff happen and you're putting up with it, you're part of the problem. Who are we kidding? The political establishment is telling the illegal, says the ANP, that they're bringing in that Americans who disagree with the status quo are criminals. Let me repeat that again. Think of it in context of what I've already laid out. Washington State, if they dare to suggest that this isn't just wonderful, the Karens will rat them out and get $2,000. So, hey, you can come in. You can bring your military training along with you. You can get your free guns. You can get your free Obama phone. You can get your pass to go on the bus wherever you want to go. And furthermore, if any American dares to speak up against you, you can rat them out. We'll give you another $2,000 for that. What better solution than finding people who have no connection to the American people, arming them, and then sending them out to oppress us? Again, that's McGregor. And he warns that the ruling class is intent, evidently, on burning the country down. And here's the key, and I think this is part of what we need to understand as we wonder whether or not an election is going to solve this. What's Trump going to do? Say we're going to deport a bunch of people? Well, guess what? If they are already in control of the military, if they already own all these cesspool cities, if they already have access to the keys to the kingdom, it's going to be a hell of a lot harder, isn't it? Even if they don't give him an attorney general and a Congress and a whole bunch of other criminals that'll say, hey, we'll kill you if you get out of line. If you remember what happened to Ronald Reagan, you'll have an idea what Trump might be facing. Again, folks, this sounds kind of daunting. So I started the show by talking about trust and fear. Do you trust in organizations that have already destroyed your trust, whether it's an election or a bank or a fiat money system or an FBI? They're not deserving of trust. They still want to try to rule by fear, though. They're going to try to get you to be afraid, be very afraid of the things they're going to warn you about. Oh, there might be some Iranian terrorists coming in. Maybe they'll kill the people you'd like to vote for. But don't to worry. We're going to issue put them on the most wanted list. Yeah, that'll fix it. Maybe we'll help them out, too, but we're not going to tell you that. As they reported, what's coming next? No internet, no phone, no power, no food, no going back to normal. And the Obama folks have even got their new movie production, Teotihuacan, and it's all about after Leave the World Behind. Predictive programming, essentially setting you up. This is what they've got planned. This is what they're telling you they're going to do. Burn it all down. And the next step, take down the internet. So that's essentially the point of the article. If you understand how this is going to play out and what it looks like, imagine if the internet was to go down, and we saw some dress rehearsals just in the last week, before the election. How far before the election? Well, I guarantee you there are think tanks and predictive programming and now AIs working out the best way to do that and figuring out the optimum timing. But when you see the beta tests, you know that they're very close to it and that they have the tools to be able to do it. The only question is just, well, as the Wicked Witch of the West said, how to do it? You don't want to hurt the spell. This is satanic evil. And again, my point in talking about this is not to inspire fear. It's not to say you can't fight it, although that's what they're going to tell you, you can't fight it. The answer is, if we understand Scripture, not only do you not want to fight it, right? Who can make war with the beast is one of the things people will probably remind you of. I don't attempt to make war with the beast. You serve a creator, I hope, who is powerful, more powerful. He who is within me is greater than he who is within the world. Don't sweat that. The people of the mixed multitude that were told to take the land. Well, these are big, scary dudes. These are the Anunnaki. These are the giants, the Nephilim, the sons of the Nephilim, the Rephaim. These are all big, bad, scary, hairy dudes. How can we possibly fight them? Answer, you don't have to fight them. He will go before you and fight. All you got to do is take up arms and just kind of be there, wave that sword around. And if you are on the right team, guess what? All right, now I'm not minimizing the battle that's ahead, but what I am saying is with the creator of the universe on our side, if we're on his side, we cannot lose. Without him, we cannot win. And it really is that black and white, that undeniable, that simple. So when it comes down to those twin pillars, this is the thing that I want to encourage people to think about. And it's not a shameful thing to recognize that there will be attempts by the deep state to infiltrate communities. They will attempt to destroy people. And no doubt there will be some examples made of some high-profile folks. You can't fight them is what they're going to try to tell you. Don't worry. You don't have to. Without legitimacy, there is no obeying. Well, you shouldn't obey them regardless. Once you know that they're not legitimate, once you recognize that they're serving another master, the prince of this world, not the same master that we serve, there is no obeying. So that's part and parcel of what come out of her means. But wait a minute. Okay, we talk about that every week. There are some other elements here that I want to make sure we outline as we wrap things up for today. One, Matthew 24, I talk about this frequently. See that you are not deceived, says Yeshua. Be not deceived. Don't fall for it. The propaganda's going to be thick. There's going to be AIs. They're going to show you stuff that's going to seem really, really scary. Don't believe it. For sure, don't trust it. You can't fight them, but you can come out and be separate. You can make clear who you serve. We can buck one another up, walk in prayer. We can be bold when it comes to speaking the truth about what we know and why that hope is within us. Now, I will contend that probably the best advice and the one that really resonates with me this week, because it's how do we rebuild the elements that matter of both of those twin pillars? Destroy the fear of an illegitimate state and of the Gestapo and the SS and all those minions of Satan who come in the name of a fake god and try to invoke fear. And at the same time, they're trying to tear down anything in which we might trust and should trust, as it turns out. Well, the answer is, this was the advice that was given to Joshua, if you recall, towards the end of the Torah, certainly at the beginning and throughout, really, all of Scripture, but especially in the book of Joshua. The Hebrew word I love, and I've mentioned this before, but I encourage people to think about it. You can look it up in Hebrew. You can find it in the English, too. Kazak. And remember, in Hebrew, you put different suffixes on for y'all be strong and of good courage. You singular be strong and of good courage. But that's what it means. Be strong and of good courage. And the corollary, right? Fear not. That is the most repeated commandment in the whole book. Fear not and kazak. Be strong and of good courage. That is precisely the antidote for all of these things that we're talking about today. No. We cannot fight these things in our own power. You can't fight rigged elections. If you have to have 300 million people to vote with you and you can't make that happen, oh, well, Big Brother will tell you, don't even try. You've lost. Answer? Why would you participate in a rigged system anyway? That isn't going to fix the problem. And even if all these people voted and they voted against the creator of the universe, well, again, I'll suggest you can look all you want. You'll never find not one incident in Scripture where people outvoted the living God and were blessed for it. Matter of fact, you can't find any examples, I don't believe, in Scripture at all of something that recommends democracy. So in all of those things that I talked about up front, whether it's the voting idea or repelling an invasion, when there's far, far more of them, I mean 10 million invaders just since the Biden-Fuhrer took over illegitimately alone, that'll scare a lot of folks, even if they're mostly not terrorists and armed Chinese troops. The banking meltdown, likewise. You know, when hundreds of millions, hundreds of billions of bucks go poof and the entire system implodes and the shelves at Walmart are empty, you better have had some preparation. Likewise, energy and so forth. You can't fight it, but he who is within us is greater than he who is within the world. That's important to remember. But ultimately, bottom line, this is the one thing I would leave you with. That single word in Hebrew. Understand and pray about it and think about it. Kazakh. Be strong and of good courage. Folks, that is literally the singular recipe for what it means to come out, to prevail, to be overcomers, and to recognize what he has given us and what he expects us to do, so that we can not only be, as we're told to pray for, counted worthy to escape these things that are coming, but also be found doing his work when he returns. And as I think is getting more and more obvious by the day, there's still a whole lot of that to be done. Thanks for being with us today. Shabbat Shalom, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.